Here's the pass, on into the Buffalo zone. Mahar goes to the corner.
In March of 1989, then Sabres play-by-play announcers Ted Darling and Mike Robitaille were stunned as they called the hockey game on home ice when Malarchuk suffered a life-threatening injury. A skate blade slashed his neck.
Get over there, please.
Oh, my God.
Just keep it away.
Oh, terrible.
Oh my God, what happened?
After surviving the horrific injury, Malarchuk continued his hockey career. But he was also suffering from mental illness. It actually began with obsessive-compulsive disorder as a child, then depression mixed with alcohol addiction. He now speaks openly about his struggles and attempted suicide to help others. We reach Malarchuk by cell phone, who now lives on his Nevada ranch, more than 6 hours away from Las Vegas.
After the accident in Buffalo where I severed my jugular vein in that game in 89 with the Sabres, the trauma of that accident really, I was like the perfect storm. Everything really exploded in my life. My OCD got terrible. Depression became a real factor. Anxiety, having to try and play in the NHL, that pressure-packed stress position of being a goaltender was not the easiest on me at the time of everything going down. And the symptoms really, really got bad on all fronts. And then I started to have the nightmares. PTSD was never diagnosed. I don't even know if it was invented back then. But I certainly went 20 years after that undiagnosed with PTSD. But I did get the diagnosis for the other symptoms, the depression, anxiety, and the OCD. But it was a long road of different doctors and different medications to try and get me right. Once I did get right, I lived a good life for about 15 years, and then everything kind of, I think the undiagnosed PTSD caught up with me.
Oh, boy, Zednik, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God, he's bleeding bad.
Richard Zednik is cut wide open. Oh, my God.
In 2008, when there was another incident with another player on the ice, it kind of pushed that for you back into post-traumatic stress?
Well, yeah, the accident happened in Buffalo. It was Richard Zednik cut his jugular vein. And, of course, I was working in the NHL as a coach, a goalie coach. And so I was very media accessible. I started to talk about the incident with my jugular vein, and my medication had started to, I was on the same meds for way too long probably, and I wasn't checking in with my psychiatrist, and I think a combination of the meds, my body probably getting immune to the meds, and the fact that that accident happened, I was reliving it. So things kind of spiraled down for me again. And in 2008, I attempted suicide.
And what did you do? How did you attempt?
I live very rural. I have a barn, a house, horses. And I went behind the barn. I was shooting kind of target. And my wife had gotten home and she said, "What's going on? What are you doing?" You know, and she could tell I was pretty distraught. And I just pointed the gun under my neck and throat area under the chin and pulled the trigger. I didn't even know if there was bullets left or not. I said, "This is what I'd like to do to turn my head off." And I pulled the trigger and the bullet fortunately lodged in my skull. You know, I was lucky, obviously, to live, but I was also lucky I didn't have permanent damage to my eye or anything else.
How could you shoot yourself in an area that you already suffered so much pain in?
Honestly, it didn't cross my mind. I mean, it was such a random and compulsive thing that I did. I just, you know, I didn't leave a suicide note or anything. It was just something I did on the spur of the moment. And I didn't think where I was putting the barrel of the gun or anything.
You do some really great speeches to help others with mental illness and depression and talk about how you've coped. When you were at that point where you attempted suicide and someone said that to you, "Don't let life get in the way," would that have mattered to you? Would that have made a difference in pulling the trigger toward your body?
You know, I think there's a lot of factors. You know, I needed attention, medical attention, psychiatric attention. My fault was not keeping up with my medication. I thought, "Oh, I can take this, get the team doctor to refill this medication." As a coach or a player, you know, you have a team doctor, and you know, there's a lot of factors. Something that somebody could have said, I'm not sure if that would have, you know, because I was trying to hide it too, because I was like in denial. "No, I'm fine. You know, not a lot of people knew how deep and dark I was at that time.
Have you touched someone that you've helped that you know of?
Absolutely. I had one kid come up to me at a book signing, and he said that I saved his life. And I'm like, I kind of thought he was joking. And he went on to tell me that he had written a suicide note, and his dad had found it and addressed him and said, hey, you better check out this Malarchuk. He struggled with this stuff, too. And my book had just been released, but I was also very public with interviews and that sort of thing before the book came out. And a lot of people knew my story. So for him to say that, it was pretty overwhelming once I realized he was dead serious. And I get a lot of emails. I put my email in the back of my book on purpose to get connected with people that are struggling. And, you know, I don't always have the advice. I try not to give advice, but I try to give support. And I talk to a lot of people through social media, email, of course, and phone calls. And sometimes I'm on the phone a couple hours every night sitting in my barn. And it helps me, too. It helps me to speak, public speak. It helps me to talk to people and give support because it's why I'm alive. I feel like that God spared me for those that are still suffering. I mean, I should be dead.
Well, Clint Malarchuk, thank you so much for sharing your story with Buffalo. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, Eileen. Go Sabres.